What's up, fool? We're Jeff Keller, people. Old school right here from the Comedy Store, man. We're talking about the Natural Fudge. I know you guys heard me mention. Felipe, where'd you get started at? We're the first place you performed with the Natural Fudge on Fountain Avenue. And man, you guys should have seen the way I was dressed, man. I was wearing a checkerboard shirt, checkerboard coat. I was dressed like an 80s comic, man. I look like Fosse Bear from
Fosse Bear
from the Muppets, man. Cha 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 cha. And I remember I went up on stage and there was a black comic there who was dressed like in a black suit and a black hat.
That was Don.
In a suit.
Don who?
Williams.
No. Not Don Williams. Don Williams was, you know what's funny you mentioned him? Don Williams. these are comics, people that Don Williams is a clean comic, by the way. And that fool had the mustache, right?
Uh-huh.
A little fro. I saw that fool when I was on an airplane one time, and I put up a magazine, and there was like this ad for insurance. And there was like this blown up building, and then he was just in the middle of the building, like with his hands up.
Don got mad at me. Yeah. I did a thing at, you know, remember they had a new face.
Still around?
I haven't seen him, but they had new faces at the the improv.
Yeah,
remember that? And so I've been doing comedy like 4 months, and I did it, and I sit back there, and he calls me back, the owner, and he's like, Jeff, you were very funny. That was good. I'm thinking about having you in there. And then all of a sudden, he's like, how long have you been doing comedy? I go, 4 months. He goes, oh, no, you're not ready yet. You're too black on stage. So I go, too black? I said, okay. So the next week, I come back, and they say, next comic, Don Williams. Well, Don Williams wasn't there. So I went up as Don Williams. And I went up there and I'm like, nigga this and nigga that. And your mama's a nigga and your daddy's a nigga. And I hope when a nigga falls out the tree, that's your mama. And then I walk by Bud and I go, now that was probably too black.
To Bud Freeman?
Yeah, no, Mark Linnell. It was Mark.
Mark Linnell?
I said, yeah, that might have been too black.
Black and proud.
Oh, man. Those are the days. Man,
Don Williams had one joke, man. This is way back, people. This is when I was open micing, when I didn't even know what was funny. And so we used to go to a place called the Natural Fudge, and I don't even know. You just sign your name, and you will go. A band will perform, like a punk band.
Yeah.
And then after while they're getting the stuff up off the stage, you're performing. And the next band,
right.
another comedian goes up, and they're setting up the mics right behind them for the next band. So you're doing comedy while they're setting up bands. You're the in-between. And, man, you're getting frustrated, man. And you're talking about the owners you used to make out with everybody for stage time?
Yep, Brenda.
Brenda Starr.
She was a crackhead.
She was?
She looked like one.
She looked like one.
Well, crackhead died.
When her husband died, Johnny Roberts, Jamie Kennedy told me at the Comedy Store, Jamie Kennedy said, you should go over there and say bye to them. You know, Johnny Roberts passed away. And as soon as I, you know, she's all sad, right, Brenda?
Uh-huh.
And as soon as I get there, she's making out with a Mexican cook. Like, totally making out, crying.
The cook's the one that did them in.
I say, wow, man, let the healing begin.
Started with a kiss.
You started at the Fountain, at that Natural Fudge or the Comedy Store? Where'd you start?
Yeah, I actually was at the Comedy Store.
At the open mic?
Yeah, I did the open mic.
Put your name in the bottle?
Yeah, whatever, however they did it. It was crazy. And then the doorman quit. And so the guy comes out and goes, anybody want to be a doorman? I'm like, sure, I'll start as a doorman. He's like, well, you got to do 3 minutes for Mitzi, and if she likes you, you're in. I'm like, all right. So I did my 3 minutes, and Mitzi comes over and goes, oh, that was funny. You're in. I'm like, all right, I'm in. So I started parking cars in the back of the Comedy Store.
Whose cars you were parking? Dice Man?
You know what I did to Damon Wayans? You know what? Damon was kind of a jerk, right?
No.
He'd throw the keys and be like, Damon Wayans, throw the keys, park my car. I'm like, all right, dude, I got you. And that's when they had the car phones.
Yeah.
So I got on the car phone, his car phone, talked to my girl for like 45 minutes, right? So about a month later, I hear Damon talking to comic going, yo, man, my wife wants to kick me out the house. I told him I don't know that girl, I don't know that number of the girl that was on my cell phone. So evidence that the cell phone number came up and she called the girl, and the girl's like, well, you know, I'm trying to get with Damon. And Damon's like, who is this heifer? So, yeah. So she was pissed off about the whole situation.
Damn.
So I got them back. I got them back.
So you started, who was around when you were started? Like the Sam Kinison?
Sam, it was into Sam. But I was with like Carlos Mencia, oh, yeah, Eddie Griffin.
You used
Griffin.
To roll with Carlos Mencia, right? You used to write for him?
A little bit. Little
you were with him in the first special, right?
Yeah, I opened up video? The first special. Yeah, I'm the one that named the special.
You did?
Yeah, Carlos, it was You the Man.
You the Man.
That's how I brought him on stage. I said, oh, yeah, Carlos, You the Man. And then what's his name? Said, oh, we're going to use that.
Who? His manager?
Yeah, his manager. What's the light-skinned brother? I forgot his name.
Man. Worthy Patterson?
Worthy, that's right. Yeah, Worthy. I don't even know what that shyster is, but he's the one.
He owes you money?
Yeah, he owes me money.
Everybody shyster, eh?
Oh, come on, man.
Let's go back to the old school.
Yeah.
He's a shyster.
Oh, he's a shyster, you know.
That's funny, dude.
But yeah, no, and I would sit there and I'd watch Mooney. I'd watch Paul. You know, I'd watch Eddie. I'd watch Eddie DuPaul. I'd watch Carlos DuPaul. You know, all the comics back then were just doing Paul, but they would make it to them. Like Eddie would, instead of telling the jokes, he would act out Paul.
Paul Mooney, you're saying?
Yeah, with Mooney. Carlos, instead of it being black, he would make it Mexican. So, wow. You know, so if Paul talked about black dude on Star Trek, Carlos would make it, well, a Latino on a Star Trek. And so I could see Paul's act three times. It was crazy. And I just didn't even know. I'm like, these guys are brilliant.
You didn't know when it was going on or what?
Well, I knew what was going on.
Okay.
So, but I didn't want to be that guy.
Oh, yeah.
So what I would do is I would, if an event happened, I would try to write a joke like Paul and then see if Paul would do the joke. And, you know, because that's how I learned to write that way. And so that's what I did. It's just, Comic Store was a great learning time back then because comics would work with you. You know, they would talk to you. You know, I ended up going on a tour with Paul. You know, he saw me do an impression of Paul on stage.
Paul who, Mooney?
Mooney, yeah. I did his impression. I said, wouldn't it be funny if Paul Mooney hosted African-American Movie Classics? So I'd be like, oh, homie. Welcome to African. Oh, fuck that. Welcome to Nigga Movie Classics. And what I hear in the back, oh, nigga, that's brilliant. That's brilliant. Just from the crowd, it's, that's brilliant, nigga, that's brilliant.
Did he get offended?
No, he loved it. Then at the end of the last joke of the bit is like, oh, I have to show my favorite nigga movie classic, The Titanic. Why is it a nigga movie classic? Because a lot of white people die and no niggas get blamed for it. And what I hear at the end of the whole joke from the crowd, oh, nigga, that's brilliant. That's brilliant. But as you know, so then he calls me up like a couple of days later. He goes, nigga, Paul. I'm like, who calls people like that, right? He's like, I want you to go on tour with me. I said, Paul, how about if I don't want to go? He goes, nigga, it would help your career. So I'm like, all right. So we do these little gigs around town, right? So then the final silence, we go, he goes, we're going to New York. We're going to do Caroline's. They love me in Caroline's. So we go to Caroline's, right? And I walk into Caroline, and Paul's sitting down eating chicken wings and drinking Moet. And he's like, homie, get what you want, because a white man's paying for it. We don't know for how long. I'm like, okay, Paul.
We don't know how long. What you doing? Money.
How you doing there, homie?
I mean, Paul, it was crazy. So now you're in the back, in your green room, right? In the green room, and you got all these people, and who shows up? Uncle Ray, Eddie Murphy's Uncle Ray. So he comes walking and going, what's
the
up,
the real John? Uncle Ray?
Yeah, the real Uncle Ray. And I'm standing, and he goes, hey, Paul, what's up, nigga? What's going on? Who's this nigga right here? And Paul's like, that's Jeff. He's like, hey, Jeff, no last name, nigga. I hope you're funny. Look at that ass right there.
Horny ass Uncle
Hawk. Yeah, it was. I'm like, what the
hey,
hell?
Jeff with no last name.
That was my name. Jeff with no last name. That was how he called
me. Jeff with no last name.
Jeff with no last name. So now, you know, you're trying to focus, right? You're trying to get, and all this madness is going around you, and I'm looking at my notes, and Paul walks over and goes, nigga, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm getting ready. He goes, let me see your notes. So he takes them and tears them up, and he goes, comedy spiritual. Good luck. I'm like, what? Good luck is, yeah, because they love when I bring niggas to bomb, so don't bomb. And I'm like, dude, I don't want to come anyways. So I go up there, and I have a good set. I walk off, and I do a joke about having a white mom, right? So as I'm walking off, Uncle Ray goes, hey, that's brilliant. That white mom shit's brilliant. I'm going to do that shit in Norfolk next week. And don't worry about it. You won't be the nigga, so they don't even know it's your shit.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Yeah. I appreciate your honesty.
He says, I'll be open up for Ashanti with your shit. Don't worry about it. I'm like, wow.
Damn. That fool's uncle does comedy?
Dude, it was crazy.
That fool took it back to the old school chilling circuit. It was. Like, there ain't no television.
Yeah. Ain't no TV.
Like, nobody could have noticed, man.
Well, and they all rip you off, because then that whole bit about Mooney hosting African movie classics was on the Dave Chappelle show. Mooney hosting the classics.
Yeah.
And I didn't get a dime.
Nigga Ramis.
Again, I didn't get a dime.
Nigga Ramis.
Nigga Damas.
Negro Damas.
Negro Damas, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, that was my bit. They took it on Chappelle, and people were like, "You writing for Dave?" I'm like, "No."
I'm not even waving at Dave.
I'm just helping the ratings.
So you were there, man. You saw a lot of crazy. You saw the development of a lot of comics, huh?
Yeah, man. It was awesome. Like, you know, watching. I mean, people even said they wanted about Carlos, but dude, he can perform.
He can. Huh? He's a great performer.
He's a great performer.
I saw when I walked in. When I was dabbling in comedy, I was doing like a little bit of open mics here. You know, Natural Fudge, like we mentioned. I never been to the Comedy Store, but I have been to the Laugh Factory. I remember paying $12 $12 to get into the main room. I went through with a date, you know, but I was just there wanting to watch the show.
Right.
And I saw Luke Torres.
Oh, killed Luke?
Killed it. Killed it.
I love
Monster
Luke.
Back then.
Killed it. Tommy Rivera and Carlo Mencia, man, killed it.
Yeah.
He had the best set of the night. Him and Luke Torres had the best set of the night. Yeah. Dave Tyree.
Dave's my man.
And I think also, man, I'm not too sure, that guy who died with the cigarettes. No one needs to hang around Sam Kinison. Hicks.
Oh, Bill Hicks.
Was he ever at the Comedy Store?
I didn't see Bill.
Yeah, dude, because his name's on the wall and shit.
The mirror was Dom Rivera, man. He was arguing with the crowd.
Oh, I seen Dom. I seen Dom take a purse from the lady and throw it to the back of the Comedy Store.
Shut
in the main
the
room.
Fuck
yeah.
Up,
dog. Yeah, Dom didn't. Dom, when he get pissed off.
I think it was Dom then, because he was smoking a cigarette. He said, "I write jokes." What do you do, asshole?
Are you serious, Tom?
That's funny. You said Dave Tyree. Dave Tyree and Paul got in an argument one time.
Paul Mooney?
That was hilarious.
I wore pants. Tyree.
No, Dave had a CD out called The Funniest Black Man in America.
Dave Tyree?
Dave Tyree. And so Paul goes to him. He goes.
He's bold up.
He said.
Bold as hell, dog.
He said, "Tyree, really, nigga? Really? The funniest black man in America." He says, "Paul, but I buy your CDs." And Paul looks at him and goes, "Because I am the funniest black man in America." I was like, damn.
That's tight.
I mean, those things that you would see at the Comedy Store. I've seen ghosts there. I mean, it's...
Are you serious? Everybody talks about that.
Let's talk about ghosts, man. Everybody talks about seeing ghosts. Who's ghost you see?
Dude.
Freddie Soto.
Dude, Freddie Soto. Oh, damn.
All right.
I love Freddie.
Yeah.
It was Halloween night. I was with the manager, and it was at the end of the night, and we're sitting down, and the place had closed down. And we're just talking and sitting in one of the booths. And also we hear these chains, right? And we're like, what the hell? And remember, they had the piano in the corner, right?
Yeah.
So we look at the piano, and over the piano floating was a dude in a zoot suit just looking at us. Yeah.
You saw this?
Yeah. And so I look at the girl, the manager, and I said, "Do you see what I see?" And she's like, "Yep." And so as we get up and we walk down a little aisle towards the back door, he just turns his head and just watches us. And when we hit that double door, we was gone. And yeah, so when people say it's a haunted, oh yeah, it's.
Who you see, Sammy Davis Jr. or what?
Sammy Davis. You know, hey, black people don't come back.
I know.
I am the funniest ghost in America.
He can dance.
It was a gangster?
Yeah, he's gangster, man. And this is the craziness. When it was, what was it called before
Zeros.
The Comedy Store? Zeros. My father is a jazz musician. He played at Zeros.
Oh, yeah?
Bugsy Siegel used to own that joint, right? Back in the days and shit?
My mom used to sell hot clothes to Bugsy Siegel. My mom was a booster back then. My mom's white lady, and she would go boosting with two black women.
What's
and
boosting
yeah,
for
what's
this?
Boosting,
boosting, boosting back then is...
Shoplifting?
Was no, that's don't say shoplifting. That's low end.
Yeah.
My mom would be perturbed over that whole statement right there. My mom was like, she would steal diamonds. She would steal suits, furs. They would have...
Tight.
Okay, that's why they call it boosters.
That's why I was boosted.
That's like high-end shit, huh?
It was high-end. We would have after parties at our house in Beverly, up in the Hollywood Hills. And the Temptations, Four Tops, Marvin Gaye, everybody would come down and would buy the stuff. So she would sell stuff to Bugsy. But how she would get her stuff was, She'd walk in with two black women and go up to the person, to security or the manager, go, I heard the black woman say they're going to rip you off. And they'd be like, thank you, miss. And so they'd follow the black woman around, and my mom would just take suits and put them between her legs and drop her skirt down and take some diamonds, drop them in a purse, you know, take some more suits. She could walk out of store with four suits rolled up between her legs and walk out normal.
Damn.
And they would go up and down the coast with different wigs and different things, and that's how they would roll. And so it was an after-hours club that we had up in on Lookout Mountain Drive, right down the street from Houdini's Castle. That's where I lived for a couple of years with that madness.
And you guys had like an after-hour party there?
Yeah, they'd have it on the weekends. And my mom would take the orders.
Mickey Coyne.
Mickey would come
Mickey
in.
Mickey Coyne.
Yeah, yeah.
All the L.A. gangsters and shit?
I know Mickey was one. I don't know who else, but I know Mickey was a big client of hers. And I know the Marvin Gaye and a lot of the performers back then.
So when your dad was playing jazz, was this during the time that jazz was real big in South Central on Crenshaw?
Yeah, he was part of the...
When they had a lot of clubs. A listener, you could know, there used to be a lot of clubs on South Central all over Crenshaw right before you get... Once you passed the Garment District and you passed the Olympic Auditorium... And then there's another little district. It's jazz area all up in that club. There's still some jazz places left, but there used to be a lot of them when your dad was there, right?
Central Avenue.
What years was that booming, dude?
Oh, that had to be like late 50s, early 60s.
Yeah, 52 to 59.
Wow. Yeah. My dad toured with Ray Charles. My dad wrote Unchained My Heart, which is actually, they wrote it in rehab. It's about heroin addiction.
Don't be lying, bro.
I'm telling you. I'm telling you.
This ain't no little weed, right? Just give me a little taste, man.
Oh, yeah. No, it was funny. The way my dad...
No, for real, your dad wrote Unchanged My Heart?
Yeah, Unchanged My Heart.
Unchanged My Heart.
It set me free.
Set me free.
He actually did the Ba-Boom Booms with Ray, with Red Fox and Slappy White.
So you're living off royalties, I say.
Huh?
You're living off royalties.
No royalties. Because they sold it for like $50.
What?
Yeah, they sold it.
They don't know how big music was back then. Huh? No. Like Art LeBeau knew.
Art LeBeau knew, that's right. Yeah. My mom actually threw Charlie Parker out the house because they came in the house to do heroin. And my mom's like, you know, y'all got to go. And my dad's like, but baby, this is Charlie Parker. This is the bird. And she says, well, you can open up the door and you and the bird get the fuck out. And that's... You know, that's why my mom was. She's a little gangster like that, you know. It was crazy.
Where's your mother from?
My mom was from Michigan, and then she came out here, and then she was on her own from 16 on.
And straight hustling, huh?
She straight hustled, no doubt. I mean, she got my father. Actually, my father was married and when we were born, so to another woman. So then she started hanging out with this other dude named Keller, who was a small-time hustler. And then when she got to Keller's partner was called Perry, who was a big time drug dealer. And then that's when she got into the big time stuff. And yeah, that's where it all started.
And your dad, what was your dad doing?
Well, my father was playing drums. He was playing. They went up to Seattle, and the guy in Seattle was playing with Ray Charles. Didn't like Ray. You know, Ray was kind of a dick if you knew Ray.
Sounds like he didn't pay well.
Well, he was just an ass. And so he tells my dad, he goes, yo, Bobby, why don't we switch? Ray's blind. He won't know. So my dad's like, all right. Because my dad's kind of goofy like that, right? So he played with Ray for about a month, and he goes up to Ray, and he goes, hey, Ray, you know, I'm Bobby. I've been playing. Ray's like, oh, Bobby, I know you've been playing for about a month, Bobby, but I liked your playing, so I didn't say nothing. So I'm going to pay you. So he paid my dad. So my dad's sitting back watching Ray, and he's like, you know what? I think Ray can see. I think Ray is just bullshitting to get paid. He's running a hustle. So my dad was the guy that came out and set the mics up, right? So he moved the mic, right? So Ray, because he said, I'm going to move the mic and watch Ray just go around it. You know, then I'll know that he can see. Ray comes walking out, busts his head on the mic. And Ray's like, Bobby, you're fired. And my dad's like, but Ray, I thought you could see.
You done unchained that mic.
So, yeah, man.
That's
my father. That's what he, you know. I didn't believe it. Like, when I didn't get to see him again until I was like 32 years old.
Damn.
Yeah, I was doing stand-up, and I was doing an impression of my father telling me a bedtime story as a heroin addict. And a guy said, is that true? And I said, what's your dad's name? I go, Bobby Pittman. He goes, he just played in here last week. Because him and Billy Higgins were good friends. And about a month later, I get a call from my dad. I say, hey, I want to come. I want to see you. And so that's how I got reacquainted with my dad. And so he would tell me stories, right? And I'd be like, he's bullshitting.
Yeah.
So he told me the Red Fox and Slappy Wright story. And so I ran into Slappy at the Comedy Store. And I'm like, Slappy, this is probably some bullshit, but I got to ask.
Apologize. You know.
Listen, man, just gonna...
Right. I'm like, I got to ask you, man. My dad said he used to do the boom booms for you and Red at the Fox. So he goes, what's your dad's name? I go, Bobby Pittman. He goes, Bobby Pittman? Bobby Pittman? He was the baddest boom boom player we ever had. I'm like, oh, man. He goes, what's he doing? Bumps. I'm like, yeah. So I called him and they talked for a while. So after that, I had to believe his stories, you know? It's like, you know, okay, I believe you now, Dad. But I thought he was BSing, man.
You do a Richard Pryor too, huh?
Richard? Yeah, I used to do a Richard impression. When I first started, my whole act was
I remember
Richard.
I used to do a Richard Pryor.
Yeah, I used to be like, I was born in Chicago, Illinois. That's a city, nigga. You don't know about that. Yes, that was my whole act.
Do more, bro.
The girl, Miss Rudolph, she come out there, I'm on my knees, I look up. I'm hoping the guy ain't got a kiss nothing.
Fine, that's pretty good, Richard Pryor. Did you ever meet Richard?
Yeah, I actually got prior convictions and had him sign it.
Oh. He wrote the whole name or scribbles?
Actually, it was sad. It was a ink, like one of those stamps.
Oh.
And then he tried to sign his name. It was basically just, you know, RP. But I tell you what, he's the only guy I've ever seen at the Comedy Store. They brought him up in a wheelchair and set him down. And he got like a 10-minute standing ovation. And then when they sat down, he looked at the crowd and said, don't be mad at me. Don't feel sorry for me and shit. Because if God wanted to punish me, he would have made my dick not work. The crowd just went crazy. And I'm like, you know what? That's a true comic right there, man.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah.
Did you ever see him when he was normal?
Seen Richard when he was normal?
Yeah, when he was walking around?
No, I caught the end of Richard.
That was like 92, huh? 91?
Yeah, but he used to ride Paul. He used to he would talk more trash to Paul. I'd be like, oh, damn.
I remember Freddie Soto used to drive him around.
Oh, Richard?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Right before he passed away, he told me that Richard Pryor, he to pick up Richard Pryor, and he would help him sit down in a car. And then one time, like, he sat down on his, you know, oh, he said he sat down on his balls. And he goes, God damn, man, sat on my balls. And then he asked him, Freddie Soto said that he asked Richard Pryor, Richard Pryor asked him, man, so, what business you in, man? What you do, man?
Right.
Like, you're just a driver. He goes, oh, man, I do stand-up comedy. Stand-up comedy? Goddamn. Paul G is getting his whole fucking family in the business.
Richard was a fool. I love Richard. You know, he hanging out with David Banks.
David Banks? Who's that?
David Banks.
He was like a preacher or something,
David,
right?
Yeah, David Banks was the other guy that wrote for Richard.
He's the guy he made that preacher bit about, right?
Right. So it was him and Paul. So they would all... Actually, and Paul told me this was amazing, and I wish we could do this. If Richard wanted to work out material, he would go in the original room, do an hour and a half, sit down with Paul and Banks, rewrite it. Same night, go in the main room, do an hour and a half, sit down with Paul and Banks and rewrite it. And then he would go in the upstairs in the belly room, do an hour and a half and rewrite it with those two. So he'd do like 4.5 hours of comedy a night. Could you imagine that? 4.5 hours?
Wow. That's funny. I read about that in that book. I'm glad you said now knowing it was true.
Yeah.
That was funny, man. Like, Freddie Soto told me that one time. I don't want to. I'm just quoting Freddie Soto.
Yeah.
That he took, he went to a party with Richard Pryor. He drove Richard Pryor to Whoopi Goldberg's party.
Oh, nice.
And Paul Mooney was there. Uh-huh. And he was stealing pies.
I can see Paul. Oh, nigga, grab that pie right there.
That's what he said.
I love dessert.
I know Paul, because Paul's a fool.
I love dessert. Line pie.
You know
the Mooney twins, too?
Yeah, Daryl and Dwayne. I'm like, you know how they have the fifth Beatle? Yeah. I'm like the fifth Mooney. You know, I'm the guy. I'm that guy out on this out there. No, Paul. Yeah, that's Paul. You know, Paul and David Alan Grier had a beef.
What, Homie the Clown or something?
No, because Laura Petty. Remember Laura Petty, Tank Girl?
Tank Girl, Laura Perry.
Laura Petty.
Somebody told, well, that was Laura Petty, that girl from League of Their Own.
Yeah, yeah. They had beef.
Over her?
Yeah, what happened was Paul had came flew back into town, right?
At Paul Mooney?
Yeah, so he drove by Laura Petty's house.
What?
And he calls Laura and he saw David Allen Greer's car there. So he calls Laura and says, Laura, I want you to come down and see my new Cadillac. And Laura's like, no, Paul. He goes, no, come down now. So she comes down and she gets in the car and they start driving, right? Paul locks the doors. And he's telling me this at the Comedy Store, right? And when Paul talks to you, he's like right at your face. And, you know, he's got that Cavassier breath going, you know. And, you know, and I'm trying to move, but I'm like, okay, I'm going to listen to the story, right? Then I'm thinking, I don't want to be like the O.J. Simpson case, right? Like if he kills like David Allen Greer, I don't want to be like Cato, right? So I don't. So Paul,
no witness.
Yeah, I don't want to be the witness, right? I'm like, Paul, I don't really want to hear this. He goes, oh no, nigga, you got to hear this. I'm like, oh. I'm like, oh, okay, man.
This is brilliant.
Yeah. So Paul goes, so I'm driving with Laura, and I go, I know that nigga David Allen Greer is in there. And she goes, Paul, you're not gonna O.J. me, are you? And Paul said, nigga, I wouldn't give you the pleasure. I'm like, Paul, please don't kill this man, because I don't want to be on the witness stand. And so when we would do gigs and David Allen Greer's supposed to be there, he wouldn't show up. David would not show up. And I'm like, why are you afraid of Paul? I'm like, I'd be a little scared of Paul. Paul crazy.
Laurie Petty.
Yeah, Laura, over Laura Petty. Can you believe that? That's crazy.
Damn.
Mm-hmm. League of Their Own, Tank Girl.
When you started doing stand-up comedy, was there a lot of competition like there is now? Everybody was cool?
No, it was hard for me, especially when I did the black clubs, because...
Did you ever do that club over there, 43rd and Crenshaw?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Regency West.
Yes.
Yeah.
And another one, too, the one across the street, they had a barbecue shop, but you got to buy out of the window.
Oh, that's hilarious. That was at Marla's Memory Lane, was it?
No, that was in. That was there.
Oh, the J. Oh, that's J. Anthony spot. Brown, but it wasn't called a J.
It was owned by a light skinned man.
Yeah, I know exactly. And it's right on the corner.
He should make you do improv.
He make you do improv. Him and Dr. Lou.
And it, Dr. Lou, what? I know this fool knows everybody I started open mic with. Dr. Lou, Freddie Novak.
Oh, Novak. Oh, my God.
Was he really a doctor, Dr. Lou?
No. No, he didn't.
I am a doctor of psychology.
Yeah, he got it from USC.
Yeah.
He got a doctor from, like Dr. Ken. Dr. Ken used to do the room I used to run.
He should wear suits, man, and canes. And yeah. He was a pimp on the side.
He was a pimp. Pimping the education. Pimping that.
The system.
But yeah, no, you're talking about Regency West was that was the spot. That's when DL Hughley. I was there when DL was I caught the end of Robin Harris, but DL was the host then. And they would hate on me because I wasn't a bad looking brother back then, you know.
I know, but you
light skinned.
You just got off playing the Rams.
Yeah, no, I played the Falcons.
You play with the Falcons, right? You play NFL.
Yeah, I played in the NFL. You know.
So you played you went to USC?
I went to Washington State University.
So you, where are you originally from then?
Here.
Los Angeles?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. You say Hollywood Hills.
Yeah, I got recruited.
Quarterback?
Wide receiver.
Oh, shit.
It's funny because I was going to go to Azusa Pacific and major in theology. And then my mom's like, no, you're going to Washington State because it's in the Pac-10 at the time. And so I ended up going there and I was out of control up there. I was doing all kind of crazy shit. But, yeah, people say, what's the difference between, like, college football and pro football? Like, when they hit you in college, it's like they hit you because, you know, they're playing for their college, for their team. When they hit you in the pros, they hit you like they got a mortgage, a side chick, you know, a drug problem.
They hit you with everything.
They were the stripper from last night.
Yeah, I mean, they
they want to pay for the after party.
Oh, they trying to knock you the F out. You know what I'm saying? Like, I used to run out of bounds, and the coach would be like, why you run out of bounds? I said, because we get four downs, coach. We got three more to get to first.
The fool's trying to kill you, huh?
Yeah, man.
So, yeah.
Hell yeah. Then the coach got mad and said, sit on the bench. I said, guess what, coach? He said, well, I go, they can't hit me over there either.
How long did you play for?
Just 2 years. I was in 2 years. I wasn't into it. I said, once it wasn't fun anymore, I was kind of a different type dude. And so once it wasn't fun anymore, I'm like, this is some bullshit. Like, they'd be like, Jeff, won't you come in and look at film? I go, why? You know, there ain't no reason for that. I know what they're going to do. And so so they're like, nah, you got to go.
Who's the quarterback when you were playing out there?
I play with two guys. I play with Steve Barkowski. And then they had the LA Express out here.
LA Express,
remember
yeah.
that? I play with Steve Young.
Steve Young?
Yeah, Steve loved me. Steve,
I Michigan to... Generals.
Washington.
Washington Generals, yeah.
Yeah, that was, yeah. But Steve loved me. It was Steve was cool. I was knocked out for about 45. Steve threw the ball, and I hit the goal post in midair.
Damn, bro.
At full speed.
God
and
damn.
And was knocked out for about 45 seconds. At that point, that's when I said, you know what? Comedy's sounding pretty good right now. I think that comedy thing is a little bit easier. So, yeah.
Were you already doing comedy?
No, I haven't. I wasn't doing any comedy.
Thinking about it?
No, you know how I got into comedy? This is crazy. I was acting. I was the worst actor, dude. I would like look at the camera and get start shaking like this, be like you know, and I think it was a control issue, so I would just shake. So I said, well, what's the best way to get rid of the shakes? And I said, well, when I do stand-up. And that's how I started doing stand-up. Yeah,
now I shake and do stand-up.
Now I'm doing the same thing, but made it part of my act. But yeah, that's how I started doing it, man. And then I started doing Regency West and the little open mics that we did. And, you know, the black rooms were interesting because, you know, stuff I could do in the white rooms, you couldn't do in the black room.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, like the Townhouse. Remember the Townhouse?
Yeah, Maverick Flats.
Maverick Flats. That's the one we were trying to think earlier. But Townhouse was the worst one. Townhouse, I saw a guy do a joke about some Muslims. And, you know, they had the Nation doing security there.
Yeah.
And they'd be like, brother, can we talk to you outside for a second? And they whipped his ass.
Shut up, dog.
Is this the guy? I think Johnny Sanchez might have been there.
Who, Johnny?
Johnny Sanchez? Because somebody told me that there used to be a guy that was doing a Muslim joke for a while. Mm-hmm. He has a joke that said this, man. He goes, man, that he used to be a Muslim. And right. He was selling bean pies around the corner. But he was still eating pork on the side. And then one day, man, the Farrakhan showed up, man. I'm about to shake his hand. My chicken wing fell off. But luckily, my white wife picked it up.
Ooh.
I think it was that guy.
Ooh, yeah.
That was deep, man. He said it in front of the Nation.
Yeah, you can't talk about Farrakhan.
It was hard back then, huh?
I met Farrakhan. And let me tell you, Farrakhan, it was at Stevie Wonder's House of Toys.
I
was walking. You just feel his presence. And so I had to walk over there because I'm like, dude, this dude's looking at me. I'm just, you know.
Can I talk to you?
Yeah. I was like, I said, hi, Mr. Farrakhan, I don't know if to say hi, assalamu alaikum. And he looked at me and goes, my brother, assalamu alaikum is just fine. I'm like, okay. And so I talked to him for like 5 minutes. I'm like, okay, I'm going so I don't probably get my ass whipped. He goes, don't worry about it, my brother. I'm like, okay.
Oh, what'd that brother say, dog?
Who, Farrakhan?
Yeah.
He'd just be like, and what are you doing here? And I'm like, well, I'm here just to, you know, hang out with Steve. Because my girl at the time was singing backup for Steve. And he's, that's nice, my brother. We'll have a good time. I'm like, okay.
Wearing sunglasses and shit?
Oh, man. Yeah. I ain't saying nothing.
Did you ever there at the comedy store when they had Fat Tuesday and his son would show up with a motorcade?
Oh, dude, Fat. Let me tell you, that was the worst time. I used to work the door.
Yeah, man. Tell these people, bro. They don't understand how crazy comedy was back
dude,
then.
Dude,
they
don't
before
even
YouTube.
Know. Remember Sunday night was Black Night?
Yeah.
Now, Black Night. First,
on Laugh Factory, right?
No, at the comedy store.
Originally.
And from 8 to 10, it was White Night. But from 10 on, it was black people. So this is what would happen. If it was an open mic early.
Oh, that's when somebody got shot, right? Those
right.
Clips. Yeah.
Right. So what would happen is you'd come in and you'd be like, okay, I'm going up at 8:10. You're like, all right, cool. I get there while the white people are here. And then TK Carter would come in and go, I want to do time. So Jeff, you're bounced. And then Mooney would come in, you're bounced. And then Chappelle would come in, you're bounced. Now it's like 10:30. You're like, oh shit. No. And it wasn't, I'm gonna be real with you. It wasn't black people, it was niggas. Let's be real. It wasn't no black people.
It was rough, man.
It was rough.
This was before they had a dress code. Like, this was before gangsters could get away with jerseys and Pendletons and flannels, blue
before
flannels.
Before rules and shit?
Before rules. Before they started saying, you know what? No more Dockers.
Huh? I mean, I saw a guy get heckled by Tupac.
Yes.
Tupac ran up
to
the stage.
Tupac used to show up and heckle.
Yeah. Are you serious?
He ran up to the stage and said, get off the stage. You're not funny. And the guy looked at him and said, but Tupac, I got all your CDs. Y'all, I don't give a fuck. You ain't funny. Get the fuck off the stage.
Shut the fuck up, dog. Like a black.
It got out of control,
it
man.
It was out of
control. Were you there when Martin Damn. Lawrence bouncer beat up Brian Holzman?
Yeah.
Tell people what happened, bro.
I don't know. I just saw it. He was on stage talking trash.
He was talking mad trash.
He was talking trash, and the dude didn't like it. And he, you know, Brian ain't going back down.
He ain't going back
down. And Brian, I think Brian even said, well, come on and do something. And the guy said, all right. Yeah.
Yeah. Were the bouncers there?
Oh, no. The worst I saw was, remember Dave Operetta, the guy that closes the Comedy Store at open mic?
Oh, yeah. We're talking about him. Who did we mention him? Jimmy Schubert. Yeah.
Remember that guy?
Robert Apadaya.
Well, this is what Robert's on stage. This is Black Night, right? This is the night where they heckle you before you get to the stage if they don't like what you're wearing.
Oh, yeah, man.
Okay, I mean, it was brutal. You could tell one joke. Like, my first night there, I told a joke. I said, my mom's wife, she likes black guys, and the dude yells out, nigga, get off stage. You're not even black. I said, good night. I mean, that's how brutal it was. So Robert's
man,
gonna.
It felt like you're like walking. Everybody had BB guns. It was a carnival.
Yeah, it was like the Uzi heckling. It wasn't. You didn't know who to get.
Tight.
So Robert's the last comic of the evening, and Robert gets on stage, and you know, he's actually like, "I met her on a Monday, and her name was Sue." A do run, run, and this big, this big old brother.
He says, does that show.
That's what
this.
He does.
He goes, "I met her on the run, and a do run, run, run."
Yeah. This big old brother gets up and goes, get off the stage. And Robert says, I met her on a Wednesday.
He wears a bag over his head, yeah. People.
So the guy gets up and says, get off stage or I'm going to knock you out. Robert keeps going. The dude gets up, hits Robert in the head with a Heineken bottle.
Oh, my
Robert
God.
Robert rolls off the stage to the back of the curtains and disappears. I'm like, oh, shit, he's dead. And all of a sudden I hear, I met her on a Monday.
He's a soldier, bro.
I said, he gonna finish. And the brother got mad and threw the chair down and walked out the back door.
Oh, shit. When hitting a motherfucker with a bottle goes wrong, y'all.
I see Robert Apadaya, bro. We had Jimmy Schubert here, right?
The one.
And then like Don Barris and everybody was blocking his pathway to get on the stage, but he did walk on top of the chairs and made it on top of the tables and did his act.
Yeah.
Nobody gonna stop him, man.
That's no, tight, not even hard, on Black bro. Night.
The do run, run, run.
That's fucking awesome, dude. It's perseverance.
He's a soldier.
He was my idol after that.
Yeah.
He was my well, you know Johnny. You sound Johnny. I got great Johnny Sanchez.
Yeah,
story.
What happened?
Tell us, man.
When Johnny first started, he started as a doorman at the Comedy Store for only a week because we would tell him every day.
To reach a knob.
We would tell him. We'd say Mitzi wants to sleep with you.
Oh, I've heard stories like that, bro.
Yeah.
Oh, that really happened.
Well, he got scared.
Oh yeah.
And so we would work the main room, and I tell Johnny, I said, Johnny, when people want the booze, send them to me. Because I'd get like $100 a booth.
Tell the people how they make side money.
That's how I used to make that little side money. And so I never told Johnny, right? So I made like $400 or $500 a night. About a year ago, Johnny comes up to me and goes, I got a beef to pick with you, Holmes. I said, what, man? He goes, all that time you was making money, you didn't give me a dime? I said, yeah, man, that's the game. That's your fault.
That's the game, bro.
That's the game. But he quit being a doorman because he thought Mitzi wanted to take him to Palm Springs because that was her game. She'd take a comic to Palm Springs, come out in a little bathing suit. I know, it's just a nasty picture right there.
I just picture right now, man. Kingpin.
Yeah, man. I can just... I can see Johnny. Yeah, man, I got to go.
Do you remember that Puerto Rican comic? They used to sleep with a Japanese comic.
Who?
The Puerto Rican comic, man. He's a straight up Puerto Rican. I think his name
was. Is he from New York?
Yeah. He was in it for a little while. Yeah. Back in the day with crazy Pammy Sue was around.
Yeah, he was a nut though.
That dude, he said that he was approached by Mitzi Shore.
Yeah, Mitzi was handling it. So you know, that's why Argus supposedly gets
Continuous.
Yeah, that's
his
the
name is on the sheet every day.
Every day.
Every day.
The first spot, right?
Yeah, I heard she tattooed his name on her ass. Argus.
Argus. I wouldn't argue with that.
Just Argus.
Angus, no, Argus.
No, the Comedy Store was crazy, man.
Eddie Griffin, when I first started doing stand-up comedy, that's when I used to go at the perform at the Natural Fudge, right? The Natural Fudge. And then I would hear like people coming in, man, oh yeah, man, Eddie Griffin just did 1 hour at the Long Beach Comedy Club. It was that dude that used to have that impersonation. Bobby Law.
Bobby Law.
Bobby Law. God. Cleon.
With the guitar.
Cleophas.
Oh, yeah. He was horrible. He was horrible.
Hey, but he used to hook up those gigs, though.
No, but he did. He on the bases?
Yeah. Oh, they paid, bro.
Military
they paid.
Gigs.
$200 yeah. here didn't help. It helped.
Yeah. Even he had to sit through his act. It was worth it.
Remember, he used to sit there, man. Oh, man, he's about to do Cleophas. He goes, somebody give him a 40. Then he'll put on the teeth, right? The teeth,
the wig,
the chain,
the muumuu,
the pirate hat, the pirate
patch.
Oh,
Cleophas.
He's the one that got the Catherine's brother in the Marines, right?
You know what, Bobby Law? He actually, when he was a Marine, right?
Yeah,
he was a recruiter.
Oh, was he really?
He recruited one of our friend's brother into the Marines.
I couldn't do it.
That fool said, man, he ruined my fucking life, dog.
Hey, did he recruit him as Cleophas?
No, I guess as a what? A Sergeant Law?
That's hilarious.
Oh, man, Bobby Law booked me and Gabriel Iglesias to do this gig in San Diego. And we gambled the whole night because we had another gig with Dante, Italian Dante.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right there at the... the Coach House.
Okay.
We were booking the Coach House in Santa Barbara. So Gabriel said, let's go gamble. We had $300 each. Let's go gamble. So I came up, man. I made those $300 into $800.
There you go.
And then Gabriel didn't want to gamble. Then at the last money, he goes, man, I want to flip this. I said, you ain't going to flip it. We're going to end up losing, man.
Right.
It's going to happen twice. So we ended up losing everything. We had only had $100 left between us.
Oh, man.
And, He had that Bobby Law show, and he was 2.5 hours late to that show.
What?
So, man, Cleophas did an hour set.
No.
It was a night of Cleophas.
A night with Cleo.
Amongst his Marines friends.
We always knew that motherfucker wanted to be a woman.
Oh, man, there's some comics. You just sit and you go, oh, my God.
Hey, man, who... Like, people don't understand these. Listeners don't understand when you first start off, there's comics that do an hour in between sets while they're hosting.
Eddie Griffin.
Keith Morris.
Keith Morris. And he got Morris. One joke. Keith got one joke. The welfare joke. What is it? ETP card now? But he was just, it's money. He'd say he'd lay it down on the, he'd gamble, he'd go to Vegas. He'd lay it down. Hey, it's money. That's a big joke. That was his big joke.
There's a restaurant in Lincoln Heights, and I think Keith Morris did a show there for them, I guess. But they saw burgers. What is that place in Lincoln Heights where they have that chicken with a red sauce? Lucy's or Daniel's? Danny's?
Dana's.
Dana's chicken. If you go inside, there's a photo of Keith Morris, a commemorative of him because he did a show for them.
Shut up.
Yeah, because he came out on drinking juice in the hood real quick. Yeah. Had a little spot on there.
Well, everybody did.
Were you in any movies?
I actually, you know what's funny? Last year I was in Water and Power.
Water and Power?
Oh, hell yeah. Dude with Emilio Rivera, right?
Yeah.
The dudes from Culture Clash did it or
something. Yeah. Well, yeah. What's his name? Called me. The guy that directed, what's his name? I always forget his name because he gets on my nerves.
Art Torres.
Nah.
Richard the Torres.
Richard was Richard. Because Richard didn't like it because I did a Pocho of Our. Pocho.
By the way, listeners, Jeff Keller and had a show every Friday at 5 o'clock?
4 o'clock.
4 o'clock on KPFK. It's called the Pocho Power of Hour. Pocho Hour of Power with Lalo, the cartoonist that does the same cartoon all the time. Anyways.
A little roach.
And another guy, right?
Patrick Perez.
And you guys there, how long you been doing that show,
brother? I've been doing that year about 6 years now.
Well, how long has the show been around?
Probably about 13.
13?
Yeah.
How did you get a radio gig?
They saw me doing stand up.
Really?
They saw me do stand up.
He's safe. Let's get him.
Yeah, he's okay. I did it. Remember what's the guy the Australian dude? What's his name? The guy that died, the alligator, the crocodile guy,
the crocodile hunter,
the crocodile hunter. So I did a joke about a swim by that the guy did a swim by on him. You know, he's in the wrong hood. So it was a whole joke about that. And the guy's like, "Hey Jeff, that's funny. Why don't you come on our show?" And so I was on the show about three or four times, and they had another black guy. So they said, "Well, this black guy is leaving. We need another half black guy." And so that's plus I went to Vaughan Park High School, which is probably a Latino high school, so I could relate to all the stuff that was going on. So,
how do you do an hour radio show? Fast.
You know what? It's not easy. Sometimes it's funny if we got 2-3 guests, it's easy. But when they try to load up with 5, it's like McDonald's, in and out, in and out, in and out. And you know, Lalo's doing he's writing on a Border Town
that
will be out in January. So they got a time for that.
Did you get a voiceover in the show?
I wish. Seth MacFarlane's like, no, we got enough minorities. But no, he's one of the, he wrote the first episode. He co-wrote the first episode. So
I was a guest on the show. Remember, I helped you guys raise money.
That's right. That's right. How much did you donate?
I donated
$1,000. $1,000.
I said, anybody want to match me? And then people did match me.
They did match.
People donated $5,000. Okay.
Damn, yeah.
We got cool, money though.
No, you handled that.
I handled it, dog.
You handled that. Because for us, we don't usually make a lot of money on those days.
Another question. Do you get paid to be on that show?
No, we don't.
Oh, my God.
We donate. We donate our time, dude. But the cool thing is we get gigs from it. It's what's the cool thing.
You must get a lot of corporate gigs then.
We did the Ford Theater. We opened up with Culture Clash. Had 1,000 people, sold the place out. And that was a good night. That was a good night.
It's cool, man.
Yeah. But is this cool, you know, with Lalo and all the people we meet? I mean, we've had from the Isley Brothers to Cheech and Chong to Eddie, Sandra Bernhardt. I mean.
How was Sandra Bernhardt?
Sandra loves us.
Yeah?
Sandra, I tell you what, Sandra tells great stories. And she told me she hadn't talked to Paul. She told me Paul Mooney had found her.
Discovered her, right?
Yeah. And so she said she hadn't talked to him in 10 years. So I got Paul to call in the last time she was on.
Oh, yeah?
And listen, those two banter was amazing. I mean, they still funny. Just taking 2 days subject matter.
She's a great actress, too.
I love her.
She's awesome in the King of Comedy, huh?
She's awesome in the King of Comedy, man.
Brilliant.
Hell yeah.
Brilliant. So that's the cool thing about the show. We get to meet all, you know, different, you know, people like that. It's all Dick Gregory, you know, the Drifters, the originals, you know.
A lot of hipsters go to promote their stuff, huh?
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, they do.
A lot of actors, a lot of actresses.
A lot of people in that station want free shit too, huh?
Yeah. The cool thing is we get free concert tickets.
That's the best.
You know? Oh, hell yeah.
And you get to meet people like when you're growing up, like Frida Payne was on. And, you know, people that, you know, the originals. You know, people when you're like cruising back in the day. You
get the Delphonics.
Yeah, it's cool.
Art LeBeau.
Isley Brothers were cool, though. I love the Isley Brothers. They were on there. You name it, they've been on there. Most people, it's been great.
That's funny, man. Do you ever like get those guests that go, man? I remember you doing coke in my house.
Well, I try to
with
get
my mom.
Yeah.
You bought a suit for my mom, didn't she?
One kid looked. One dude said, "You like this 5-year-old I used to know."
He does look like a little kid. Huh?
They're like, "You're not that 5-year-old." Well, it's funny because when I used to have the parties, I'd have bodyguards take me out. Like we had a pimp, Papa Charles, that would take me out, and he'd dress me up in pimp stuff, you know, suits, and he'd use me to bait women to come over. You know, like they'd be like, what a cute little kid. And he'd be like, what's your name, girl? And then it would be on and cracking. He'd use me to suck them in.
Damn.
Mm-hmm. I mean, one time he's like, Jeff, pimps don't cry. Because I was crying as a little kid. He's like, pimps don't cry. He said, if you don't stop crying, I'm going to have one of my hoes whip your ass. And I didn't know what that meant because I'm a kid. So I kept crying. And so I kept crying. He looked at me and said, oh, you freaky like that. I'm like, what the hell? He's like, oh, you like that ass whooping, don't you? I'm like, hey, man. So, yeah, I learned a lot of stuff as a kid that I probably shouldn't have saw when I was.
What was life back then, you know, like did your father ever tell you when he used to go do jazz at these clubs and hustle? What was it like that for him? What was the scene?
For him.
It's different now, but back then was like, there was a lot of places to go perform, right?
Yeah, I mean, Central Avenue.
The Biltmore Hotel. A lot of places to perform for jazz, right?
Central Avenue.
Central Avenue, right?
Yeah, I mean, they had, I mean, everybody.
South Central people.
Yes, that was the spot. That was the hotbed for jazz. Quincy Jones, I mean, everybody would come out and just play. Like I said, Charlie Parker, Billie Holiday, you know, they'd all come out there and perform. It was like the end spot, and people don't understand that. My mom never said hang out at Tommy Tucker's, which was a big club where all the black celebrities would hang out, and the gangsters, like we talked about earlier, they all used to hang out there.
So they weren't even in Hollywood at the time; they were right there.
Yeah, that was the spot. That's where they like. That's where they like to hang, man. It was a whole different. It's kind of like when I first started hanging out, we could go to a place called Club Paradise, and you'd walk, and Eddie Murphy would walk in and walk around the whole dance floor with Fruity, right? Because you didn't need bodyguards back then. And while he's walking around, you'd have the Lakers out there dancing. You'd have Stevie Wonder up in the VIP. You'd have Eddie Murphy coming up in the VIP. You had Prince up in the VIP. And you would just sit down and I'd be like, yo, what's going on, Prince? And you would just talk. You know, now you couldn't do that because everybody's afraid to get sued. So they got, you know, 8, 9 bodyguards. You know, it's crazy.
Everybody wants a selfie.
Everybody wants a selfie, man. What the hell is that?
They want to get tagged that they were there.
Oh, no. It's been cool. I mean, I've been at the Atlantis. I've done gigs for the NBA Players Association, where I've hung out with the players for a whole weekend, which was a whole different experience, man. When you hang out with them fools.
With who?
NBA players.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, they flew me in for to MC their meetings, and I did a show for them. And so it's funny because I'm backstage, and I'm thinking, oh, this should be fun. These black guys, right? And then they had their names on there, like, you know, Kobe, you know, Brian Shaw, Alonzo Mourning. And I'm thinking, wait, hold up. These ain't just black people. These are rich black people. So they go, come to the stage, Jeff Keller. And I walk out, and this is what I hear. So now I'm like.
Paul Mooney said, come on, hurry up.
Right. So I'm like, you know what?
Now.
I'm like, fuck you motherfuckers. I said, I clap for you guys. You miss free throws. And I'm a Clippers fan, so I clap all the time. And so they're like, okay, yeah. And I'm like, no, don't be my friends now. And I ripped them for about 20 minutes, and they gave me like a standing ovation. But that's right. That's what Paul said. It's like, you know, it's spiritual. And that's what it became. So, yeah. But to hang out with those guys, they do some. You can see why they get in trouble. While we were there at the Atlantis, some high school graduation sent their kids there, and they didn't know it was NBA players there. So you had these girls that just graduated from high school. Not good.
Not good.
Not good. They had Tyrone Hill. Remember Tyrone Hill? He's about 6'9", basketball player. Teeth went everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, just wasn't a good-looking dude. Was standing in white Speedos with these two girls that just graduated from high school going, hey, Jeff, we're going to jacuzzi. What do you want to do? I'm like, I'm taking my ass to my room, man. This is a lawsuit waiting to happen, man. So, you know, they're great guys. I loved all, me and Paul Pierce became good friends. They're just, you know, but I can see why they get in trouble.
Did you ever, before, remember when we used to do comedy at Dublin's?
Dublin's, ups. Yeah.
People don't know, man. Tuesday nights.
They don't know. They don't know the stuff we had to go through.
I know, man. It's funny how it starts off. That became a place to get stage time, too. That couldn't get stage time after a while because everybody was showing up.
Oh, no. That's what you used to hate. You'd get there early, and then all of a sudden the big guys would come.
No, Dave Chappelle's going there now. What is he doing
here?
Yeah. And Dave Cook is here. What?
I mean, we would go.
Dave Cook is here. Norm McDonald's here. What are they doing here? Is this a comedy store, a laugh factory, and an improv somewhere where these guys should be going?
Yeah.
Nah, they want to be in the mix with all these ladies.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you know, that's what they went for. Because there was a lot of ladies there. There was a hell of a lot of ladies.
I went there for the art.
I went there just to do two jokes, and I was going to go home right after.
Oh, no.
And then the lawsuit happened.
No, you're right. That's.
Then all of a sudden, you're performing on stage. Wait a minute, I'm getting heckled by DMX. What the fuck? He's doing it here. What the fuck is DMX doing at a comedy show in Dublin on a Tuesday?
Dr. Dre, all those guys would just, they would just heckle, man. You're like, wait, what? What? Dre? Tupac? Stop
it. The hotel didn't have no license for performances at the Dublin.
That's
so they,
right.
They had to shut them down.
Shut it down.
They couldn't even do karaoke, and they would do karaoke. Man, that karaoke Monday was tough, was packed.
Oh, and they would perform. There was no, you couldn't come in light.
It's Hollywood.
Oh yeah, you
people
had the
trying
brains.
To get. You talk about
it's Hollywood.
Yeah. You know what? You know those places where they say, "Man, nobody here's gonna get a record deal."
Right,
man. You thought they were.
Yeah, they would dress to it. I mean, if they were going to dress, they were going. I mean, they would long. Lord, I mean, they would just go on riffs. They'd be like, "F the song. I'm just riffing my own shit."
Steve, Big Steve used to work there. Remember at Dublin's?
Yeah.
No, he's at the Laugh Factory now.
Oh, is he? I said, remember the Laugh Factory? Remember they had to stand in line all day for 3 minutes. Is Harvey still there?
Harvey, yeah, on Tuesday night, doing the open mic. If you go over, he rings that bell, but I don't think he has the bell no more.
See, me and Jamie got beef.
What happened?
We had beef.
The problem, Bob.
Oh man, I did.
You trying to manage you?
Yeah, I think that's what happened. I did his little thing, and then I walk. You know, he talks to you afterwards.
So yeah.
He says.
But did they have his shoes off or on?
I don't remember, my friend. So he's like, my friend Jeffrey, you know, just come back again. I think I like you. I just a little nervous, you know. He was good. You go, just come back again. I'm like, I don't know. So then the next comic comes up. I swear he said this. I can't make this up. Black comic. He says, hey, my friend, look at you, funny, but you don't know how to say nigger right. You got to say nigger. I'm like, damn. He did not just tell a bad comic. He did not say nigga night. You got to say nigga. I was like, you know what? I don't think I'll be back for a while. And then about 6 months later, that stuff happened, you know, with what's his name that snapped
Kramer?
Kramer snatched on stage. And then James was like, no, no, couldn't you say nigga? I'm like, wait, just 6 months ago, you just told this guy he didn't say nigga right.
It only takes one.
Yeah, that's Jamie, man. Oh man.
So getting back to that crazy night at Monday nights, the Black Night.
Oh yeah,
there was a shooting there, right?
Yeah, the guy slipped, and shot into the wall.
Oh, so he wasn't shooting anybody.
He missed him.
Oh,
he walked up to him, put the gun to his head, and went to pull the trigger and slipped, and the bullet went in the wall. And yeah, man, that was crazy.
Inside the store, right?
No, that was outside the store.
Oh, outside, okay.
It was outside. The beef started inside. Well, you know, Eddie Griffin used to have his night, and the big old beef started in there because what's the name? Played No Vaseline with Dre in the audience. And Dre got mad and sent his people up and start jacking up the DJ, and everybody start running out the side door. And yeah, that's when it all went down. And Mitzi lost her liquor license for a while because a girl who got beat up was underage. Yeah, that's the Comedy Store.
There's another shooting now recently.
Yeah, I saw what one dude got.
Were you there?
Nah, I was gonna go that night. I'm glad I wasn't there. But yeah, it's like people. I don't understand. How do you go to a Comedy Store, start heckling, the comedian heckles back and rips you a new one, and now you mad, so you want to shoot him?
I know.
I don't get that concept.
Feelings.
Got your feelings hurt. Well, you know that's the new kid now. That's a spoiled brat now. You know, feeling
emotional.
He didn't get a hug as a child.
He's empty.
No, that's crazy. I mean, the Comedy Store, though, Black Night was... I remember I went on stage one time, and these two girls were talking, and they looked at me, and they're like, so what sitcom are you on? I'm like, well, I'm not on a sitcom. And she looked at her girls, so Shay, what we doing after this? It's like, what the hell?
Damn.
What the hell? Because everybody was on there had a sitcom.
Everybody, they're trying to hang out and party after with somebody.
Yeah.
And women there were trying to get famous.
Yep.
Or trying to hook up with somebody and rob them.
Yeah.
Because a lot of women, man, were like, when I did, my wife, she used to wear chocolate sundaes at the Laugh Factory.
Yep.
And I would go there for I would do both shows. But the 8 o'clock show, I would do my 8 o'clock show, 15 minutes. And the crowd was all right. The crowd was like, okay. But then the 10 o'clock show, man, people showed up like they were going to the club.
They was dressed.
Dressed. A line of beautiful black women there. Everybody. People out there trying to get upstairs to trap people.
Mm-hmm.
And Chris Pearson had to set it up that no comics could hang out in the front, you know, because everybody trying to pick up in the bathroom all the time.
Yeah.
It's all for me. But yeah, man, it was like everybody was trying to get paid.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I tell you what, women, because they knew that basketball players were going to show up. They knew actors were going to show up. They knew people with money was going to show up. And so, you know, they came there ready.
And knew Scruncho was going to show up.
Scruncho.
You know him?
Why does he even have a mic? And his whole act is about being in jail. I mean, come on. I'm surprised Ben Carson ain't called Scrancher Winder right for him.
I thought he was going to do brain surgery on the brother.
I wrote a play with Scrancher because he was whooping it up for Mike Epps, I think.
Uh-huh.
And he sold all his CDs, of course, and those DVDs. And he was sitting right in, he was sitting in the middle seat next to me, and all his wad of money from the DVDs was all in one ball.
Uh-huh.
But unstowed, though.
Yeah.
Because every time he moved, a 20 came out of his pocket. So no, it was not even, but he had a lot of money. I remember like $6,000 in cash.
Yeah, I remember the first time I saw Scrunch. I'm like, what is he doing? But they love him.
Yes.
They love
one
him.
One of a kind. I saw him one time. And like it was like three people. He was performing like it was for 1,000 people.
Uh-huh. No, Scrancher, he gives it all.
Give it up.
He gives it all.
Give it up, small crowd.
Don't make me put on these skates.
I'm like, you just don't get to the mic. Just stay away from the mic.
I remember one time I'm like, what is this brother doing? And he put a dude, I just collapsed in laughter. And before that, he was like, Don't you all ever hit a woman. Oh, with his shirt off, all cut up and shit. Big ass fucking pants. But if y'all, is this your little sister or your cousin? Beat the fuck out that bitch. Everybody died, dog.
Well, who's what? Him or who or Joe Torre?
Oh, it was him.
No, I'm just saying him or Joe Torre, because they both kind of.
Probably the same height, too.
Yeah, same
they
build.
They both ripped. Yeah, Joe, I seen Joe rip now. You talk about someone that rip a crowd. And rip into you. Joe Torre, man, that dude, he would.
He used to host Fat Tuesday, right?
Yeah, he used to host a lot of stuff. Back in the day, he would host it. He was running stuff. I mean, I remember I was in the bathroom one time after he done ripped some people, and these two gangsters are like, yo, he don't know, we Crips. We going to catch him in the parking lot. Thought he was talking shit to us. We got him. I'm like, damn, comedy is rough.
Damn, man. People could take it personal back then.
They sure did.
That shit personal now, dog.
They sure do. But see, back then, though, you did comedy. You know what's the great thing about back then was because they heckled you, you had to make a decision you want to do comedy or not.
Yeah.
You know, now you got everybody and their little sister, their mom and their grandmother up there because, you know, they can get 5 minutes and ain't nobody going to say nothing to them.
So now another comedian could just wave at the security guard. Yeah, kick that motherfucker out. I know comedians, man, that tell the featured act to tell him who was getting loud during the show. So the headliner can go up while those people are getting kicked out.
What?
Yeah, man. This guy told me, when I was working with that comedian, after I got off the stage, he told me who was loud. And there were like these three girls and this guy in the back that was kind of loud, but they weren't heckling. He had those fools kicked the fuck out of the show.
Wow.
Because he was a quiet show.
Intimate.
He was a quiet show. Yeah, because comedy's supposed to be quiet.
Comedy's supposed to be about like a theater now.
Oh, my God.
I do opera.
I don't even want to hear you motherfuckers eating popcorn.
People don't even have punchlines no more.
No, they just scream.
Just scream.
Oh.
Well, Sam, come on now. Sam was Sam was brilliant.
That, huh?
Sam was brilliant. You listen to his jokes? Brilliant.
You ever get to see him perform live?
A couple of times I've seen him in the main. Because he used to close the main room, you know, before Eddie started doing his 6 hours.
I seen him do 4 hours.
To Eddie Griffin?
Yeah.
I seen the manager throw him the keys and say, lock up when you're done. That's how long. You know, Eddie didn't care back then. He'd do 4 or 5.
He told me one time that he used to sleep at the parking lot at Wells Fargo. They used to park his car and sleep in there.
Eddie Griffin?
Before he had a place to stay.
I believe that.
Or he'll sneak in, he'll hide and stay inside a comedy store where they closed it.
Eddie Griffin is the only comic I know that when he, if he like got a guest spot, all the comics after him just left because they knew they weren't getting on stage. They knew he's just going to close the show out. And it kind of sucked, actually.
He would just go on, huh? Why, you think?
You know, ego. What is it for all comics? Ego. You know, we all about ego. I mean, whether we want to say it or not, we want them to laugh because of our ego.
Yeah.
And if they don't laugh, our ego gets hurt. So we're going to try. It's like my man that we talked about earlier, cussing people out, saying, Nick, what's his name?
Kramer.
Kramer. I saw him do Black Knight in the main room, and they was booing him. And they gave him the light. He kept going. They killed his mic. He kept going. They had to turn the lights out and drop the curtains and yank him off stage, or there was going to be a riot in the main room that night.
Damn.
That's the ego of a comedian.
He has to get a laugh regardless. Regardless.
Regardless.
So what's up, man? You see a lot. I thought I was going to say right here, man. I was going to mention somebody, but I forgot his name, man. Some old comic, too, from over there, man. Me Lucky Charms.
Who was that? Lucky Charms.
He used to rap and shit, black comic. Me Lucky Charms.
Who was the comic to get on a roll and then he start? Samuel.
Samuel.
He'd get on a roll. He'd go, like, don't make me get on a roll. Don't make me get on a roll. And the crowd would be like, get on a roll. And he'd start rolling on the ground. And the crowd would go crazy. And he'd jump up. No lie. He would jump up and go, I'm going to get on a roll. And the crowd would be like, get on a roll. He'd jump on the ground.
But he'll start killing for it. Then he'll get on a roll.
And it would kill. The crowd would go crazy.
He did on BET.
Are you sure serious?
Did. Yeah.
Did you audition for BET Comics View?
I did 3 years of BET Comic View. I did the first season. I did the last season.
$800.
I did it only in California because
so they paid $300.
No, in California they pay after wages, so they pay you $12. But you know, of course, you'd have to wait till it aired, so it'd be like six, 7 months.
You did the taping over at that casino then?
I did three. What did I do? One in the casino. I did with one was DL was the host. The other one was with Ricky Smiley, and then the other one was J. Anthony Brown.
I forgot who I did it with, man. It was probably Gary Owens and that lady that cooks.
Oh, yeah.
And J. Anthony Brown.
Yeah.
But I got paid. It was good.
No, they paid you well. I mean, if you did in California. Now, yeah. If you flew out somewhere else, they were only paying like $200 or $300.
You made no money.
You made no money. I think the first, and I only been doing comedy 6 months when I did the first Comic View.
DL blew up right after that show,
yeah, he
huh?
Did. Yeah, he did. But DL was very funny. DL.
I heard it was fun in the parking lot, like making fun of fools. Oh,
let me tell you something.
Juan Dexter told me.
Juan Dexter. Look at this fool just blurred names from the past.
I know motherfuckers.
Look at him. Let me tell you. Remember when they had the riots? Was that 90, what, 2, 93?
So, man, Juan Dexter showed me girls pictures from the road, man, in Polaroids.
That's how old he is. And he's still blowing on him, huh?
Yeah, man. It's Juan Dexter. It's my impersonation of O.J. Simpson's forehead.
That's how
Juan Dexter did a joke about how he pronounced kids' names because he was a teacher. Remember that joke used to do? It was a horrible joke. I mean, I just
and then
pulled up that little.
Yeah, my first joke was when we used to pull out the Ebonics.
That's your first joke?
No, his joke used to have Ebonics cards, and you go like this, Cutler. Yo, man, I'm going to your store, man. Can I borrow Cutler dollars?
He's stupid, man. Those guys back were characters, though. They were fun.
Yeah.
What was the bald-headed brother's name? Oh. There was Kevin Garnier, and then he used to hang out with a bald-headed brother, and I can't think of his name. But no, back then it was just fun.
Moon Jones.
Moon. See?
Moon
I knew
Jones.
He would know. Moon.
Moon Jones, bro.
Yeah, that's right. Moon. We used to love those guys.
He used to have the fun about, he used to have a bit about watching TV from across the street, someone else's house. And then my dad would be calling up to him, man, y'all better put the TV louder. He said, dad would get on the phone and call up the neighbor and tell him to put the TV louder because he can't hear shit.
Yeah.
And tell that motherfucker to sit the fuck down.
That's funny.
So they open up his curtains and watch the TV next door. That's he didn't want to buy a TV.
Funny, uh-huh. That's
Moon
the
Jones.
The Comedy Act Theater.
That's Comedy
the,
Act.
That comedy.
That's where I performed.
That's where you used to be at.
Yes.
And you'd want to be on the first show because that's where, like, we would go. And if they liked you, they let you do the second show. And DL was the host. So they said, okay, Jeff, you get to do the whole weekend. So I'm excited about doing a whole weekend. So DL sets me up. DL, before I come on stage, he says, all right, come to stage, Jeff Keller. But before we bring him up, there are towing cars in the parking lot. So if you parked out there, go move your car. All right, Jeff Keller, come on stage. And all the people are getting up, going to check on their cars. And I'm like, thanks, DL. Thanks, buddy. Thanks for that, man.
I was invited there by another comic that I met. I forgot where I met him. It was that comic, bro, that used to hang around with the devil sometimes. He used to have a show in Santa Barbara, too. And then he used to sometimes play dice and lose all the money. He's the one told me to go there. And I went there, and I was scared, man, because the most black people I've ever seen in my life. I never performed. Right. And it was a Wednesday, and it was packed, man. It was the first show. And I went at this first thing that came out of my mouth. I ain't going to lie. Man, I'm a scared motherfucker here. Ah! They died. Yeah. You know? Then the next three jokes bombed, and I did my 5 minutes, and I got a little alive. And then somebody told me, you need to talk to Willie Barcena.
Now, there's people that got, like, would get booed out of there, man.
But I was happy that I did well, and I went back another time, and then that's when I got BET from that club.
Yeah.
Because, like, I guess, I'm telling you, man, if you go somewhere where you're going to be the only person there of not that color, you stand out.
Yeah.
So I went over there, and the guy told me, the owner, light-skinned guy.
What's Mike's last name?
Michael Jones.
No.
Michael used to try to get me to do improv. Like, he would have Bobby Law. He had, I swear to God, on stage. He had Bobby Law, this other person, and Juan Dexter probably.
And then Dr. Lou
and Moon Jones. You know, he'll give him a subject, and this fool do improv for him.
Yeah.
To get him to practice.
No, Michael was a fool. He'd have all the comics meet before the show. And he'd be like, don't talk about the white people because if they're in the audience, they're producers or managers, we got to have them there. And DL and them are like, so DL's like, okay, no problem, right? And so as soon as the show would open, DL would go out to look at the crowd and goes, how you white motherfuckers doing? I'm like, God, dang. After Michael told you don't talk about them. And DL would talk about them for 20 minutes.
And Michael was cool, man. Michael, he always wanted credit, though.
Yeah, yeah.
Tell everybody where you started at.
Yeah. Well, the Comedy Act, I tell you what, they're trying to do the history of the Comedy Act Theater because, you know, everybody.
43rd and Crenshaw.
Yeah, everybody in Degman. Yeah, everybody came out of there.
But that place across the street did sell the best barbecue, though. You just couldn't eat inside.
You just couldn't eat it inside.
That's a sad thing, man. One day, everybody who didn't live in the neighborhood would say, how could you do at tables or something? Just like, close their curtain.
They're like, we're a fly
you
by night.
You pay here and you pick up the table. It was a table to pay. It was a window to pay an order and a window to take your food out. Yeah. And it would all come out rolled up in aluminum foil with ketchup and Rooster hot sauce on the side.
Rooster hot, yeah. We used to go there too. Eric Edwards used to go there.
Eric Edwards, the chubby white boy, right?
Yeah,
that's the guy that we were talking about. Remember, we mentioned the show previously. We mentioned the show about somebody auditioning for Def Jam and broke his leg playing basketball.
Uh-huh.
And he lost his spot. That was Eric Edwards.
Eric Edwards, really?
Yeah,
because he would dance. You know, black people love to see fat white people dance. Oh, we love that.
They like that hee haw comedy.
Yeah, we love that.
So Eric Edwards, dude, he was a chubby ass fool. He lost a lot of weight though, but this fool used to stand by the wall, and then he used to fucking wet his palm, and then fix his hair up, bro, like James Dean.
Yeah.
And then he'll put on his jacket like this and be like this, and black people would die, love
it.
Bro.
Love
Shut
it.
Shut up. Because
he'd stand by the wall, he'd stand by the wall and go like this.
Mm-hmm.
James Dean.
And don't forget Rebel, the cigarette.
The cigarette. Yeah, we like this. Yeah. James Dean, Rebel was on a waistline.
Uh-huh.
And motherfuckers will fall out.
They loved it.
Bro. That was a stupid ass joke. But think about it. It's a black crowd. Fucking chubby ass white boy goes up there being jovial and comical. Yeah. Running up on stage with his overalls. Yeah. And then all of a sudden he puts up like a Letterman jacket and gets the cigarette, bro. And do his face exactly like James Dean.
Yeah. And then he talk about death certificate. He talk about IQ's death certificate, and black folks loved him for that.
What would he say about that shit?
Oh, he had a whole rap about the death certificate and Ice Cube. He did, and the black, you know, it was amazing because Eric was working. He was Sergeant like Bill Cole.
Yeah, Sergeant Bill Cole.
A problem child.
Oh, really?
He Beverly did all Hillbillies. Yeah, and then he lost his weight and
nothing.
That was his career.
Is it that one guy that showed up at Tortillas one time? He was in PCU. Who?
No, I don't know about that guy.
Okay,
but no, Eric back then he was working.
Rebel without a waistline.
Rebel That's without fun, a waistline. Dog.
Whatever, Daryl Heath.
Daryl Heath, my man. And his boy he used to run with.
Alex Thomas.
Alex just had a baby.
They're from L.A., huh?
Yeah.
So when I went to the comedy act, you know who was hosting? Alex Johnson.
Oh, AJ.
AJ Johnson.
Yeah.
From Inglewood. He used to be a boxer, I heard.
Well, you know what he used to do before he started doing comedy? He would sit in the front row and heck all the comedians. And once he saw that he could win, he said, I think I'm going to try this stand-up. That's how he started.
I heard he was funny as fuck.
Yeah, man. That's how he started.
That's true. He got into a fight with Martin Lawrence.
Oh, with Martin? Probably. I don't know. I wasn't there, but probably because AJ would talk trash. That's all I used to do. He would just sit. It'd be like three people in the audience, right? When you first start, like at 6 o'clock show, 7 o'clock show, he'd heckle everyone to see if they could make it off the if they can make it or not. And if you survived AJ, then you thought you had a good set. And if he got you, well, you're like, okay, there's only three people. Didn't nobody see you anyways.
Sound like the heckler we know, bro.
The heckler?
His cousin.
That was funny, man, how we're talking about it in the beginning of the show about the natural fudge, how you had to pay. We spent $3 there of food.
To perform?
To perform.
Yeah.
And I would use that time of fast, you know. But Brian Holtzman, he used to waste those 5 minutes talking shit about the owner, calling her a whore. You fucking suck dick in the back, Brenda.
Yeah.
Fuck you, Johnny Roberts. Don't give me the fucking light. I'm trying to get away from her like this, bro.
Yeah, he did.
Talking mad shit.
Yeah.
And then he'll kill, bro, just talking shit about the owner and never did any material.
No. That's what he would do at Black Knight. When he would do the Black Knight, he would do the same thing. Just talk about black people for like 10 minutes, 5 minutes. And they loved him.
He'll say like evil shit too, bro. Mm-hmm. Stuff that you'll think, this guy's going to get beat up.
Yeah. And he didn't say like nice. I mean, his eyes would be bulging out of his head and he would be yelling and spit be coming out. I mean, he was like, you know, into it. And you'd be like, oh, this mother, he's going to snap. That's why black people loved him. Like, oh, we like this white guy.
He looked like he's going to snap, bro.
Yeah.
And he's always dressed like a blue collar. You talk about blue collar comedians. He looked like a blue collar guy. He looked like somebody's father about to go to work.
Yeah.
Dickies, that Dickie jacket, those boots.
Yeah.
I think he had a lunchbox, bro, with a microphone in it.
I think he worked for like the airline or something. He's an airline mechanic or something.
Yeah, because he always had that little union pin right here.
No. We're trying to get him on the show.
Well, that'd be great. Because Holzman, let me tell you something. But you're going to have to get a little more room. You know, sound man's going to have to be a little more. You know, on it with Holzman because he gets Brian. I love Brian because that's how we all started with.
Man, you ever get your shit stolen at a show, man? Not jokes, but like we know that
because everybody's got jokes.
Your possessions,
but your possessions, man. Your backpack.
Nah, everything I bring, I keep. Remember, I was raised with a booster. So I keep everything in my pockets, man.
Man, we did a show in Bronzeville, Texas last week. We're in Bronzeville and McAllen, Texas. And man, I was performing on stage, you know. Normally when you worked theaters before, right?
Yeah.
You seen guards at theaters, right? You pretty much will leave your backpack in the green room, you're safe, right?
Right.
Well, that's what I thought. I left my iPad behind.
Oh man.
It was a new iPad I just bought. You know, I figured I'll treat myself for one present this year.
Right.
So I bought an iPad because I've had the old iPad from 2010. My agent bought it for me for winning Last Comic Standing.
Okay.
He bought it with his 10% that I gave him. And hey, that makes sense now. He bought me an iPad with the 10% I gave him. So yeah, he thought he was going to get tour money. So So this new iPad, and I bought a pair of nice tennis shoes, right?
Right.
I like the suede, you know, suede Nike blue.
There you go.
Green with a gray stripe, you know, nice. So I leave the shoes behind because I'm fat, you know. So I wear these shoes, you know, my shoes get puffy, so my feet swell up. So I like to get comfortable,
right.
Ever since I saw Mr. Rogers come home from work and put on his tennis shoes, I said, yeah, man, he knows how to get comfortable.
I used to think that was some bullshit.
And they stole our shit.
They did?
I was up on stage and I came back and I noticed my shoes were gone and they stole my iPad and the feature comic, Keith Manning, get off the field. This guy drove from Dallas to McAllen like 4 hours,
that
6 hours,
seven
hours.
Wow.
They stole his car keys, his backpack with all his joke notes for the last 5 years.
Wow.
And his wallet.
Wow.
This guy's going to put, yeah, everything, man.
Great jack move, dude.
Dude, I don't trust nobody. When somebody says, just leave your stuff here, I'm like, okay, I'm taking it. Because I know why he wants me to leave it there.
We were only 30 yards away from the Mexican border.
Wow.
So I'm pretty sure someone picked up my iPad and my shoes and his stuff, put it in his backpack and threw it over the border.
Wow.
And crossed over and got it.
No, that's crazy, man.
Welcome to Brownsville.
That's why it's called Brownsville.
Brownsville, man. They celebrate Black Friday serious over there.
You smoked blunts with and got nice with.
Yeah, that, was that on a Friday too?
Yeah.
Hell yeah, dog.
See, Black Friday to men means act like black people.
Yeah, man. It was a good show, man. It was dusty over there, but we got there. We didn't really have
nothing.
It was one of those gigs where you didn't have time to do shit.
Right.
No. It was one of the people say, oh, man, you got to travel a lot. But no, man, it's work.
It's all business, man.
We went straight from the airport
right.
to the hotel to get ready to go to radio with our show clothes.
Yeah.
So we had 1 hour to get ready. We got our clothes, went straight to radio, did 1 hour of radio. From radio, went to go eat at a Pollo Loco.
Yeah.
From Pollo Loco, went to the gig, got robbed from there, drove back to McAllen an hour and a half we drove an hour and a half to the show. So then we drove an hour and a half back to the show, got up at 10, went to go do radio again for 2 hours, and then another radio for 1 hour.
Hell yeah.
So in between, we have 4 hour break.
And you lost money.
We lost money, bro.
Lost money.
Got jacked, man.
So it wasn't Black Friday for you guys.
But then we had a layover in Vegas. Guess I won $100, man.
Coming up. You didn't try to parlay that?
You'll lose that game.
You know what? Everything that could go wrong went wrong, but I didn't really react to it, like get pissed off like I normally would have or made matters worse, like yelling at the security guard. Because I had gave the security guard a DVD.
What?
After the show. Because he was not doing
his job?
He was there watching, you know. Then he wanted a photo. Here, man, you've been standing here watching me the whole time. Here's the DVD. Go back. Everything's gone. Then the promoter's pissed off.
Horrible.
He's pissed off. The promoter is pissed.
Why is he mad?
Because
he has to pay
for that iPad now. Because they pay for the security guard. They pay for the theater.
Right.
So, man, he looked at the fucking security guard. He goes, man, I was going to fucking snatch that DVD off his hand. He goes, you think you deserve that fucking DVD, asshole?
Yeah, he's like, nah. Those fools
he's like, nah, I don't deserve it because I got an iPad waiting for me at the house.
So you celebrate Thanksgiving this year at the Laugh Factory or what you do with that?
My sister flew in. I just had my sister, so she flew in. And we had a little something. She can cook. I love my sister.
We had tofurkey. We're vegans. We had tofurkey. It was good. And I didn't volunteer at the Laugh Factory this year, bro.
Chilled out?
I chilled out, man. I had to leave at 5 in the morning the next day.
5 in the morning?
Yeah, man.
See, I hate stuff like that. You know, sometimes you travel. I remember one year I went from L.A. to Alaska, did a week in Alaska, came back to L.A., did New York. Then from New York, I had to fly to
Barbados.
It was Barbados. How'd you know?
Because I don't know why, but I know there's gigs there now.
Yeah, Barbados is beautiful.
And I saw Ada Rodriguez.
Uh-huh.
Ada Rodriguez, the female comic from Last Comic Standing, runner-up. And finalist. She got pulled over, man, by the TSA. They were opening all her lotions. But I just saw she was just standing there. And I yelled out, "What's up, fool?" And a bad time to say, "What's up, fool?" She was going to Barbados to do stand-up.
Yeah, Barbados is beautiful. You know, they drive on the other side of the road.
That's fucking crazy, man. That's a lot of travel.
Beautiful, yeah. And so when I got back home, I didn't even know what day it was. I was supposed to fly up to San Jose, and I just canceled it. I'm like, dude, I'm good. I can't fly.
That happens a lot, huh? You forget what day it is?
Hell yeah, dog. The world don't stop spinning.
Oh,
huh?
Man.
We have a couple of shout-outs for our listeners here.
There
from
you go.
Yeah, man.
Manolo Lagunas listens every week from Minneapolis, Minnesota. What's up over there, bro?
What's up, Vikings?
Hipsteropolis. Give some Richard Pryor, bro.
Oh. Oh, Minnesota. God damn, there ain't nothing in Minnesota. Shit.
Alvic Malish listening in San Antonio each week. He might help us get Brown Sabbath on the show. All right, we'll get Brown Sabbath. All four, we hit up Chicano Batman. They might be on the show.
I love Chicano Batman. They've been on our show a couple times.
We're going to get them on the show, too.
Yeah, they're
you
awesome.
You love them? We had like Cafeteras last week.
Yeah, we've had, yeah. Anything, yeah, it's on our show.
We have Mikula from Blood In, Blood Out.
Shut up.
Yes.
Blood In, Blood Out.
Tell Lalo, bro, to get him on.
I'm going to tell Lalo.
That's probably
tomorrow.
Not his cup of tea. He wants the official Latinos. He likes having Latinos who graduated from college.
Who, Lalo?
Yeah.
Lalo's hilarious, man.
He don't like to be. It's funny, man. He began a lot of beef because of his show.
All the time.
He goes, man, I thought you were an activist working, getting a job for the enemy.
Oh yeah, they got mad. People got mad because
people
he was
don't understand
with
that.
Fox.
His whole time, he's been an activist the whole time, but he also sells paintings at the activism.
Right. You got to make a dollar.
Got to make a dollar, right?
Got to eat too.
I know.
No, I love Lala. I can't. You know, that's one guy. I'll tell you what. That will always have your back. There's not a lot of guys in Hollywood like that, but Lala will always. I had some foul stuff happen to me, and Lala was like, "I got you."
Because you're on the show.
Yeah.
How could he be on the show? But he's not even Puerto Rican.
I know.
He's not even Dominican. He wears
Richard,
socks.
Richard hated me on the show.
I bet. What do you think?
Richard was like, "I don't like him on the show. He's not even Mexican." And Lala was like, "You know what the funny part is about that whole thing is? My mom's sister,
he's from culture clash, this, right?
Right.
I thought he was supposed to be about everybody together.
Diversity.
Getting the culture, getting a diversity together.
The melting pot.
Well, the crazy.
I guess these guys just want to put their people only, huh?
Yeah. But the funny part is this. My mom's sister married Raul Enriquez. So I got a whole Latino side.
Who's Raul Enriquez?
Raul Enriquez is, he was, I'll tell you what, this was a great guy. This guy is my uncle. And when my car would break down, my 65 Mustang, he'd be like, "Jeff, come on, we're going." He picked me up like 8 in the morning. He go, "Come on, we go to the junkyard, get the pieces, we're going to put it together." And if, I don't care if I broke down to 2, he's going to give me, "Okay, we go get the dry shaft. That's how you put it." And he just put it. I love that guy. I want to say it right now, that was like my favorite uncle. Anytime I saw my car, he could, primer. You remember the primer? "Hey, Jeff, I got a new, I'm going to primer your car." And he'd primer my car, he'd hook it up. And the sad thing is, my aunt and uncle died in a car accident together. Oh. But I'll never forget him because in my teen years, he's the guy that like always had my back when it came to doing something like that. So
tight.
So that's why I kind of got mad at Richard. I'm like, "Richard, do you not know I got a whole side of the Enriquez family? There's a whole half of my family there." But then when he called me to do his show, he was funny. He goes, "Hey, Jeff, I know we had beef, but can you do me a favor?" I'm like, "What?" He goes, "Can you do my movie?" I said, "Let me guess. I'm the only black guy you know." He goes, "Yeah."
It's supposed to be cultural, bro.
You know what happened?
What do you think, Rodrigo?
It's more like closed-mindedness, you know?
Well, the funniness is this. He did this movie, Water and Power, about L.A.
It was Emilio Rivera, right?
Right. And so he takes it. He did it for, what's the festival up? Not in, is it Colorado? Up in?
Aspen.
Anyways, the big Sundance. So he did it for the directing thing for Sundance. So they look at it and they go, "How are you going to do a movie about L.A. and not have no black people?" And so he calls me up, "Hey, Jeff." And I'm like,
"We got one."
I said, "Well, I guess
I wasn't your mama a booster?"
Uh-huh. And you know what I played? I played a drug dealer.
Damn. No wonder. I guess that one brother from Do the Right Thing was not available.
Wasn't available.
Malcolm.
That's funny. Mookie,
that guy. Mookie. Because that's probably their other black friend. That's probably their other black friend. And their only white friend is probably that New York theater performer, Danny Hooch. That's
right.
Probably their only white friend.
Yep. So that's how I got on the show. That's how I did it.
I know my theater people.
Yes, you do. And so now we're cool. Now we're friends. And, you know, he paid me.
But that's still fucked up, man. Like, dude, what do you care, bro? He got hired by Lalo. You know, he already co-signed for you, man. It's like, hey, man, you going to let him in the gang, Holmes?
It's like I had to get jumped in.
You going to let that homie join the gang, Holmes? Chale, he's not even Mexican, bro.
Oh, yeah,
hey, chale, homie, we're going to let him in, eh? He's the carnal for me. He's the carnal, eh? So that's how you got in, eh? Bro, there used to be black fools in my neighborhood that were in a black, like all Mexican gang.
Yeah.
And these fools used to have the mustache exactly like a Mexican fool. And you see them in prison, they're with the Mexicans.
Yeah. I grew up with them. I mean, Bowen Park.
David Merritt, right?
Yeah.
But nah, man, nobody called him David. He was David.
David. That's right.
David. Bro. David. Right. Run DMC. Run David Merritt from the cops.
Yeah. I mean, I thought I was Mexican until I was about 16. And then it was a gang fight, and they said, "Get the black guy." I'm like, "Yeah, let's get him."
That usually happens, huh?
Then they whip my ass. I'm like, "Yo, why don't y'all tell me I was black, yo?"
That was messed up, man.
That was jacked up home.
What's so fool? Anthony Martinez, a trucker who listens every week. He's driving right now. Honk, honk.
Give us a little honk.
Anthony Martinez. What else, man? Chicago, man. Okay, we talk about that.
Chi-town.
It's funny, man, like that Chicago. Do you see that the Chicago shooting of that kid that was on PCP with a knife?
Yeah, yeah. They shot him 16 times and yeah, they charged the cop with the murder.
It's funny, man, like the worldview, like in America, they say, oh, that's messed up, you know. You know, he got shot up 16 times, you know, they have mercy. But then a Mexican reporter from Mexico, she put up the same video
right.
of the same kid getting shot. Let me tell you, man, those comments are totally, you think they're coming from white people, bro. They're all Mexicans from Mexico, right? And then, oh, man, you know, like, he got shot. This is Spanish. I'm quoting Spanish comments, right? He said, you know, he got shot, but you know what? He might have been on PCP now, but later on he was going to kill somebody in the future. So, you know, you're stopping a future crime. And then somebody told him, you fucking insensitive fucking wetback, you know? But these two these are Mexicans fighting each other the way Americans fight each other over the same memes. But then this other Mexican guy said in Spanish, it was hilarious, I'll translate. Ah, pero aquí los federales, la policía municipal y los cartelas te roban a la gente y los matan, pero nadie dice pinche world star ni madre. He said over here in Mexico, the cartel, the municipal police, the state police are kidnapping people every day and killing them, and no one's yelling out world star.
Right.
Narco story.
Yeah.
That's funny, man. You being the only brother hanging out with all these Mexicans, all these white people, they must single you out and just to see what you think, huh?
Yeah.
That's the story of your life.
Jeff. Yes. El Jefe.
Hey, Jeff. Hey, Holmes.
Hey Jeff. What the fuck? What do you think about what Scruncho did, man? Hey.
I'd be like, I ain't saying shit about Scruncho. I'm trying to make it to tomorrow. You talk about Scruncho, you could disappear.
You ever trying to get Scruncho up here and Freeway Rick Ross on the show?
I interviewed Freeway Rick Ross.
You have Freeway Rick Ross?
Yeah. Let me tell you something. Rick is excellent.
On the level?
Rick breaks it down. You know, because Rick was flying to Nicaragua buying cocaine from the CIA, and then they would ship it back here for him, and then he'd sell crack to the people, you know, in the black ghettos. And that's what Rick was doing. And Rick said the only reason that they busted him was because they felt like he's getting too powerful. See, that the same people that he bought the cocaine from are the same people that busted him. How deep is that? So when the black folks were saying, you know, in the hood, you know, you brought cocaine in the hood, you cracked in the hood. Yeah, they were. It was the government that was allowing it to happen. They were the one that was selling the drugs. He said he's making over like $500 million. When he made that money, they said, okay, he's getting too powerful. He got to go.
I think what happened was that he what always happens, he started using that drug money for good.
Yeah.
Because he had fuck you money.
Well, you know Jim Brown, why they don't put him in prison?
Why is that?
Because when you put him in prison, he saves people. So they're like, fuck it, keep him out. They're like, he does too much good in prison. It's better to keep him out of prison. And that's deep because, you know, Jim Brown took gangsters to the other side of the border and showed them what real ghettos and what real gangsters were. And it changed a lot of those guys' views on what's going on. And so they don't like Jim Brown because anytime you make change, they got to do something to get rid of your ass. And that's just the real talk. I mean, don't get me preaching. I'll be like, wow. I mean, you know, it's like I tell people. I said, when you see a cop car, right, you know that the cops, this is just my view, cops are there for white folks that make them feel safe. Because if they don't feel safe, people are going to get voted out of office. And the reason that I know them cop cars are for white people, because it says serve and protect on the cop car, doesn't it? But it only says serve and protect on the white part of the car, not the black.
You hear that, Obama? We got to get that changed on a federal level.
Yeah, we got to change that font.
Hey, I guarantee you, when people hear that joke, they're going to start, okay, on the black part of the car, we now got to put it in white.
Oh, people hear that joke already. They're going to say it on stage.
Oh, yeah, this is going to be stolen. But no, but that's real, though. I mean,
I'm just run with it.
Oh, homie, that was brilliant, nigga.
I just did 20 minutes on what Julian did 1 minute on.
Yes, nigga, I'm running with that.
That was a lot of the great comics would do, right? Like, they'll see like I always explain like what Carlo people say, well, Carlo Mestia just stole my shit.
He's ahead of his time.
He's ahead of his time. Bro, he's just more brilliant than you are right now. He knows how to it's like when you see a professional guy sees a baseball player who could hit the ball, but he's not hitting it right.
Right.
And that's what great comics know how to do. Like, they'll hear one bit from an open micer, and he knows that open micer is never going to do that bit ever again because he hasn't realized how funny it is.
Yep.
And he doesn't have a recorder. What Mircea does, and all the great comics know how to do, is they know how to look at that joke and dissect it.
Yeah.
And like, Richard Pryor did too.
Yeah.
They know how to make it funny. They know
how to
add words or make up words to make this joke funny.
Facial expression, physical maneuver.
Like on an Audible book, when the guy that was producing Richard Pryor specials and George Carlin specials on HBO, like I think Joe Diaz had him in the show, Rocco. That guy Rocco, he said Richard Pryor asked Rocco, "Hey Rocco, how do you say, for example, how do you say ice cream? Spumoni, Spumoni." Okay, fucking Spumoni. So he starts doing Spumoni all day and missing it all away. Fucking Sclamoni, eh?
Yeah.
I was eating a Sclamoni with Clamona, Slalabona. So Richard Pryor does a whole 20 bits just on that word Spumoni.
Yeah. Yeah. Like he did that whole thing about he's going to get paid. He went to the Italian dude. Hey, fucking Richard, come here. I caught him ice pick. Hey, my fucking dude. Hey, Richard came in with a gun. I'm gonna get my money. Hey, Richard, that's fucking money. You know, come get that. Say, come get that gun again. Come, you know, Richard's just brilliant, man. Nobody can mess with Richard, except for Bill Cosby.
Oh. Yeah, man.
Hey, they thought
put him to sleep.
You know what the funny part was?
Bill Cosby put him to sleep.
They thought Richard was the crazy one. Actually, Bill was the crazy one.
Yeah,
isn't that crazy?
And all this time, they wanted Bill Cosby to come over to their house for dinner, not Richard Pryor.
I know.
Yeah. It's those clean comics you got to watch out for,
You do
got to
watch it because they're the dirtiest ones.
They're the dirtiest one, man.
Because they're dirty behind closed doors and dudes that are dirtier up front with it.
Yeah, man. I don't drink after the show. I don't smoke no weed. I don't do no coke. I just chase after your wife.
And tire that bitch up.
Tie her down.
Give her a little pill.
Drink this.
Yeah. Hey, were you standing in line with me one time at the Laugh Factory? And it was a big old fucking cattle call. And it was for a show called Wild Oats or something like that. It was like over 150 of us. We were standing outside the Laugh Factory to do 3 minutes. And there was a German girl with us who was just there.
What was her name?
I don't know. Tanya or something. And she was like a model. And I think you and I and some other comic wrote her a 5-minute bit while we were waiting.
Because she was fine.
Yes, she said she never done stand-up comedy, and she was just there, and like, she was not dressed to do stand-up comedy.
She was like beautiful.
She was wearing shorts and a tube top, basically, and she was standing in line with us, and then she had was a map, because she had one joke, a map, and she opens up, Roscoe's Chicken and Waffles? That was her bit. But the whole time, everybody was trying to pick up on her. I think it was you and I and somebody else wrote her a 5-minute bit, and she killed.
Killed it. Never saw her
again. We were focused. She gave her phone number in German.
Never saw her again.
What's up, fool? Upcoming shows this weekend, December 3rd to the 8th. No, December 3rd, this weekend, December 3rd to the 6th. I'll be at Pleasanton Comedy. No, this weekend, December 3rd through the 6th. Who's reading this? Mayweather? This weekend, December 3rd through the 6th, I'll be at Pleasanton, California at Tommy T's with Rodrigo Torres, people.
Yeah, Rodrigo.
Flacco will be there from the shop. Larry Bubbles Brown. Murr.
Not Bubbles.
Yes, you know him?
No.
Murr. And, of course, we'll all be there. And December 18th and 19th, I'll be at Santa Ynez, California. Too Much Casino with Hell Sparks. Co-headlining. That means he goes up first, I go up last. Next day, I go up first, he goes up last. Or depending who gets there first.
I used to love Hal. Did you ever do My Room, The Kindness of Strangers?
I did it one time.
You know, we used to have everybody. Like Dr. King.
Your rooms had titles.
It had titles, baby. That's
right. I try to attract quiet white people with The Kindness of Strangers.
Yeah, there wasn't nothing quiet about it.
Hell no.
We had, Dr. Ken started there. He used to do stand-up. That's when who's the Pimpology? Cat Williams.
Cat Williams. That's right. Cat in the Hat.
He used to be Cat in the Hat.
He wore a top hat.
He wore a red and white Dr. Seuss hat.
Yeah.
And did one liners. He used to be in there. He'd be like, "Yeah, Jeff. Yeah, nigga. We
Bo Peep."
Bo Peep. What happened to Bo Peep?
He's in Atlanta, bro.
Is he?
Yes. My first time in Atlanta. This guy named, what's that big ass fool name? Wayete. This big old Wayete. He hooked up a gig in Atlanta for me, and Bo Peep did all the promotions.
Did he really?
He went to all the Mexican spots and put up the show.
Really? Now, Ronnie Perry's in Atlanta now.
Yeah. It was Bo P and Curtis Arsenal. They were a comedy duo.
Not Curtis. That's right.
Remember that shit?
Yes. Curtis and Bo P. Does he have any hair left, Curtis?
I don't know. I haven't seen him in a while.
Curtis used to be like slick. You know, he's like that slick pimp type, you know, dude. Bo Peep, though. I used to like him just because of his name. I always think he'd have like a blue, like a hat on or something, you know, tied up, you know, Bo Peep. That just didn't. They had characters back then.
Yeah, there was characters, bro.
Sanders, you know.
Sanders.
Roll and Bo Peep.
Bo Peep.
Scrancho.
Scrancho. That guy that used to roll, of course.
Yeah. I mean, you don't even understand the madness that would go on back then.
And there was a guy that was crazy. That was like this. He used to go like this.
Oh, who was that?
My favorite Martian.
Oh, he just passed away.
Yeah.
Oh, what was his name?
Oh. He used to rap. I used to always give him extra turkey on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, he needed it.
Yeah, man. New Year's Eve weekend, people, December 31st to January 3rd. And I mean December 31st to January 3rd. That means there will be a show on New Year's Day at the Ontario, California, Ontario Improv.
Wow.
With Rodrigo Flacco and me and Martin Rizzo. January 14th through the 17th. What? I got shows already to January?
What?
Kansas City, Missouri. Kansas City Improv, people. KC in the house.
Love KC.
And also we have a guest coming up in comedy who I knew in comedy. Oh, that was Jeff Keller stuff. Yeah,
up
man.
And coming, man.
So you know, before we go, man, you don't have no kids, huh?
I got a son.
Okay, okay.
My son's 21, believe it.
All right.
Eh? Yeah.
From a comic? From Mitzi?
You know what? He's funny. Oh, no, from Mitzi. Nah, from... Yeah, from someone I will not talk about.
All right.
Yeah. you remember how you would do shows and then you get caught up with a girl and a groupie, yeah, but you're not supposed to get caught up with a
groupie. Story of my life.
Yeah. So that's what happened.
Yeah. Wow, man. Well,
but he's funny. He's writing scripts. He's majoring in theater.
Sort of write me in.
Hey, I'll tell you what. He's corny. You know, my stuff is a little more hardcore.
Yeah.
But it's funny. He shot a short about dating. You know how you run the credits, you know, put starring, co-starring?
Yeah.
He put starring, co-starring, and then he put introducing. Like it's a big show. Like it's somebody famous. I'm like, your ass is
that
crazy.
Is corny.
That is corny, but it's hilarious.
So what's up, fool? Where can people find you at on social media?
On media, you can get on Twitter. My Twitter name is My Mom's White. So yeah.
And I'm every Friday working.
Friday post your hour power 4 to 5 KPFK 90.7 FM. And then I'll be at the Ice House December 12th.
There's KPFK can listen just on LA or all over the country?
We're in San Diego, Santa Barbara, and LA. So yeah, we go down the
So coast. What's up, fool? Rodrigo, give us something, bro.
I'm going to leave you all with this little poem right here. First of all, I want all y'all motherfuckers to check out my social media. Rodrigo Torres Jr., Instagram, Tumblr, all that shit, Facebook.
That was deep.
Fuck this motherfucker.
Oh, yeah, Ronaldo Ray, man.
Oh, not Ronaldo.
Ronaldo Ray walked into his act one time.
The Rolls Royce of comedy.
Ronaldo Ray walked into his show one time and when he was performing.
At the rubber room.
He was
room.
Doing like some black joke, right, about black people just... Black Jesus wasn't black, he wouldn't change.
Oh man.
And then Ronald Ray walked in, man. Fuck
yeah,
that
I can't believe he did
David
that.
David Rosen
shit.
Was right there. He's all, man, fuck this motherfucker.
Wait, we gotta do Ronald Ray right though. Ronald Ray's more like,
fuck this motherfucker. I don't know what he talking about. Some bullshit. Who brought this motherfucker in my club?
He was pissed, dog.
He did that shit with Mooney
if
one
I
time.
Ever pay for pussy, that bitch better send me pussy over the mail.
Mooney brought me in and Ronald Ray said, who's this light skinned nigga?
There's only one.
I should be the only one.
That's right. That's what I said.
He wanted to be the only one.
Yeah, he did. He's like,
there's only one light skinned nigga in my club. And that's Ronaldo motherfucking Ray.
Oh, whatever happened to TK Kirkland? I saw, hey, this is real quick. This is the greatest TK Kirkland. I saw him rip Eddie Griffin. It was main room. Eddie ran the light. So they bring up TK Kirkland. TK's like, hey, motherfucking. It's T to the motherfucking K. Because the crowd would go to the motherfucking K. Right? He goes, hey, it's T. The crowd go, to the motherfucking K. He says, so I'm hitting this girl from behind, right? And she's like, oh, you know, TK, I can't come unless I say my husband's name. It's that, well, hey, I said, well, say his name. Why? Because that's the kind of nigga I am. And so I'm hitting it, and she goes, Eddie Griffin, Eddie Griffin. And Eddie heard that, ran on the stage. Eddie had like three bags, right? TK is like the king of bagging. TK ripped him like with an Uzi. Eddie said one, poop. Eddie runs off the stage embarrassed. TK looks at this whole crowd and goes, there's a new nigga at the Comedy Store. T and the whole crowd goes, to the motherfucking K. Threw the mic down and walked off. I'm like, oh, this is the greatest shit I ever seen in my life.
Did he really get beat up by Eddie Murphy's bodyguard?
Because he stole Eddie Murphy's watch. He stole Eddie Murphy's watch.
How did that happen, though?
He was,
how did he get inside Eddie Murphy's house?
He was at Eddie's house. Eddie was going to use him as his protege. Eddie was hanging with him.
Man, comics are fools sometimes.
I just saw him open for Dick Gregory last Sunday. Yeah.
Are you serious?
TK Kirkland.
So
TK,
yeah. I didn't know he opened the show.
TK, I heard that he killed, right? Eddie Murphy invited him over to his house for some ha-ha.
Well,
no, but he took you under his wing. That means he's going to help you out, right?
Yeah, one way or another. It's going to cost you something.
So he took his watch?
Stole his watch.
Man. And he wore it on stage, huh?
And Fruity.
And bragged, huh?
Yeah, Fruity got him.
He got beat up at the Comedy Store for the watch?
I'm not sure what had happened, but yeah, that's what they're saying. He got his ass whooped.
T to the motherfucker.
T? I just love that. T? He said, hey, man. What's the TK? He said, this TK love me. He said, he's on stage. He goes, yeah, man. This girl asked me, said, hey, TK, how come you kiss me after you go down on me? He goes, because if I die, you die too, bitch.
What's up, fool?
That's a TK card. That's TK Kirkland right there.
Jeff, thank you, Jeff Keller, for all the stories, man. You've been an awesome guest, dog.
Thanks for having me, man.
All right, man. What's up, fool?